The Democrats' treasurer, Tracy Kornack, is an embezzler of an old woman.
Stop touching me.
At least that's what the Kent County prosecutor believes, or he wouldn't have charged her with three felonies.
Stop touching me.
What happened to the woman's
Stop
money?
Stop touching me.
I got hold of some investigation notes. Sit down. It's pretty sick.
We're talking about nearly $500,000 of what we've uncovered. So I think it's important for those that are watching this to be reminded of that and that dollar amount and the negligence from the Attorney General.
Kornack was a court-appointed conservator to a brain-damaged old lady named Rose Byrd. The old woman complained that she was being ripped off. Adult Protective Services came in, and that's when Kornack took it out on Rose. Kornack screamed at the old woman, cut her off from the world, dined out on her debit card, even locked her away in the dark. Rose wanted to be buried, but Kornack cremated her. It was cheaper that way.
For me, it's more than just about the work. It's personal.
Attorney General Dana Nessel had the case first almost 4 years ago. She could have caught Kornack then, but she let her go because Kornack was a political pal.
Did you collude with the Attorney General to make this case go away?
Now Nessel faces potential impeachment, the first time in the history of Michigan.
The Attorney General's office is one of two things. It is either wholly incompetent or it is corrupt.
I'd say it's both, incompetence and corruption. And I say justice for Rose Byrd.
From downtown Detroit, it's the No Bullshit News Hour with my main man, Charlie Liddell and Karen Dubin.
Consistent breaking news. Double or bullshit. Double or bullshit.
Is this the hole in one?
It's hole in one, $50,000 if you hit it.
Luke Nowacki, Financial Wealth Management. What is 50 grand after tax?
37,750.
What about state tax?
Yeah, that's, I'm throwing both in there.
What about sales tax?
There's no sales tax.
Well, you're buying the beer.
It's income.
You'll buy the beer.
Eh, we write that off.
Luke Nowacki, Financial Wealth Management.
248-663-4748.
Tracy Kornack grew angry when she found out the authorities were onto her, and she punished the old woman for it. She isolated her. She didn't even tell the old woman that her family members had died. The old woman liked to sit with the lights on, so Kornack, her court-appointed conservator, removed the light bulbs and the nightlight. She instructed that the old woman's room be kept cold. Kornack, against the wishes of the old woman, installed cameras in her quarters so she could monitor the comings and goings of investigators. Kornack, who was recently the Michigan Democrat Party treasurer, attempted to secretly record a confidential conversation between the old woman, Rose Byrd, and a social worker who chronicled the abuse for two laborious years trying to build a case against the politically powerful lawyer and orchestrate her removal from the old woman's life. Investigators' reports and forensic accounting, documents obtained by me at the Michigan Enjoyer and here on the No Bullshit News Hour, paint a sickening portrait of abuse and betrayal of Rose Byrd, who died last year at age 87. These documents also show that the authorities charged with protecting the vulnerable and elderly woman dithered. Kornack would buy items like bulk toilet paper with the old woman's money, but only give the woman a sleeve of it. Kornack swapped Christmas cards sent by family members with unsigned replacements. She verbally abused the old woman. Quote, "You're going to be a fucking bitch today? Great." It is now alleged that Kornack looted Byrd's estate while she was the Democrat treasurer, that she used the old woman's debit card for expensive clothes and liquor and food for herself. And when the old woman died last year, Tracy Kornack incinerated her body, even though Rose had asked for a Catholic burial. Cremation, after all, is cheaper than a casket. Cornack lived the high life. Quote, essentially, Miss Cornack, you were making a significant living off Miss Bird, unquote, said Allegan County Chief Probate Judge Jolene Clearwater. Cornack had come to court in an extravagant fuchsia overcoat. Observers in the galleries wondered how it was paid for. Black would have been more appropriate. Black is funereal. And Cornack's career, reputation, and freedom are on life support. After a three-year investigation, Kent County Prosecutor Chris Becker last week leveled three felony charges against Cornack, two counts of embezzlement from a vulnerable adult, and one charge of false pretenses. Combined, they carry a maximum sentence of 25 years in prison and restitution. Cornack's friends, seemingly, have abandoned her. Governor Gretchen Whitmer, whom Cornack often bragged about being a happy hour buddy, has said nothing in her defense. Attorney General Dana Nessel, too, has a personal and well-documented relationship with Cornack, having hired her as a transition team member in 2018 when she was elected Attorney General. Cornack, until last year, was one of the most powerful Democrats in Michigan, tasked with handling tens of millions of dollars of the party's cash. Now, Cornack is a pariah. Looking at Bird's case file, compiled by investigators at the Kent County Sheriff's Office and the state's Adult Protective Services, it seems all of it could have been stopped and should have been stopped well before Bird's death. Six enforcement agencies watched in real time. The Kent County Sheriff's Department, Adult Protective Services, the County Prosecutor, the Attorney General's Office, the Michigan State Police, the Attorney Grievance Commission. Governor Whitmer, as you know, was fully aware. But Cornack was powerful. She was among the untouchables. Cross Cornack, and you could find yourself on the unemployment line. In one log, Stephen Conrad, the Adult Protective Service worker assigned to Rose Bird, memorialized the call he had with Amanda Van Essen Worth, a special assistant attorney general attached to Nessel's office. And I quote, the case was reviewed with Amanda, he wrote, in February 2025. She reported that because of the sensitivity of the case and the connection that Ms. Cornack has with government officials and the mystery surrounding the last people to blow the whistle on Ms. Cornack, that it was best to wait. With what is being reported, Amanda did not feel comfortable with filing in probate. Rose Bird died 6 weeks later. And in the end, Cornack will probably face a jury, but there is Nessel's culpability too. In her capacity as Attorney General, Nessel had the original case against Cornack. Her office conducted an investigation that appears to be little more than sock puppet theater. I was contacted 4 years ago by Joe LeBlanc, right over there, at the time director of the assisted living center where Bird lived, Heather Hills. Bird's room, board, and medical needs were paid by an insurance company after her catastrophic car wreck more than a decade ago. LeBlanc accused Cornack of concocting an ornate scheme to bilk the insurance company of an additional $50,000 for care provided to Bird by Cornack's daughter, care that it does not appear to have ever been given. I wrote that original story in July of 2022. Nessel had no choice but to open an investigation. Curiously, Cornack called Nessel's chief investigator unprompted. Unprompted. That's according to the attorney general documents obtained through a public records request. Cornack told Nessel's investigator that she was indeed withdrawing $50,000 from Bird's accounts to pay her daughter, but was planning to replenish those funds once the insurance company sent the check. But the insurance company had already sent the check 6 months earlier, and that check was returned by Heather Hills, concerned it was all a scam. Nobody in Nessel's office, it seems, noticed the obvious inconsistency. or they simply ignored it. Now, with Kornack charged in Kent County, Nessel is attempting to cover her tracks since she is the subject of an impeachment investigation by the House Oversight Committee. As you heard earlier, the Attorney General's office is either one of two things, said Committee Chairman Jay DeBoyer. It's either wholly incompetent or it's corrupt. Or, in my opinion, it was both. Why? Because Nessel jumped an ethical firewall constructed by her staff to prohibit her from communicating with her pal Kornack. Again, according to internal Attorney General documents, not only did Nessel communicate with Kornack, she pushed her staff to send Kornack the active criminal case file against Kornack herself. Worse, the Attorney General's investigator never talked to Rose Byrd, nor her caregiver, nor George LeBlanc. This needed to go away, Nessel implied to her staff in December 2022. Quote, Ms. Kornack has contacted me regarding this matter. Mr. Redacted's allegations are apparently holding up a potential judicial appointment for her in Kent County. She has requested the documents from our investigation, unquote. Whitmer was going to make her a judge. And so the documents of a live case were indeed sent to Kornack. 2 weeks after that, the case was officially closed. But Kornack never got that judicial appointment. A few weeks after Nessel closed the case, a caregiver for Rose opened a bank statement of hers that had mistakenly been sent to the nursing home. Normally, all of the old woman's mail went directly to Kornack, even the family Christmas cards. The caregiver noticed a $30,000 withdrawal. When confronted with the statement, Kornack snatched it and shouted, "What's that? Give it to me. You don't need that. That's mine." That's when the caregiver approached Adult Protective Services with her suspicions. And that's Kornack. How do I say this? Basically, that's when Kornack really became abusive toward the fragile old woman. That, according to these protective service documents, Kornack demanded that caregivers leave Rose in the dark. She duct taped the switches in the thermostat. She forbade the caregivers from giving Rose her constipation medicine. The reports are as outrageous as they are nauseating, especially in light of Nessel's social media theatrics claiming elder abusers will be sent to prison. A forensic audit commissioned by the Kent County Sheriff's Office has found questionable payments and transactions to Kornack from Byrd totaling at least $419,640.05. That does not include Rose's insurance settlement from her car accident. A special fiduciary for Allegan County Probate said he cannot find a record of it and is now conducting his own forensic analysis stretching back 10 years. When called in for questioning by the sheriff's investigators, Kornack didn't hesitate to invoke her political connections. I've already been cleared of this by the Attorney General's office. It should be noted that Byrd left a trust for her son, who's 64 years old, and a diagnosed paranoid schizophrenic, another old vulnerable person. The fiduciary is hunting for that money as well. Now, if anything good can come from this horror, it would be the passage of legislation that might truly protect society's most vulnerable who are caught up in the hell that is Michigan probate system, a system that has shown itself to be corrupt all the way up to the governor's mansion. And we might call that legislation the Rose Byrd bills. Welcome in, Joe LeBlanc.
How are you?
Thanks for getting in the car and motoring on down, bro.
It's good to be here.
It's important, man. Well, how are you feeling? What do you make of this?
I think you summarized pretty well. I mean, it is what it is.
Did you drive all the way down here to go, it is what it is?
I did. Like,
what am I going to tell the world? It is what it is.
Are you relieved? Are you happy it's to a conclusion? Are you?
Yeah, of course. Of course.
Did you ever think you'd see this?
Yeah.
You did.
To an extent. I mean, this isn't okay with anybody. This resonates across the board. This isn't political, religious. This isn't ethnical. This is everyone has parents. So, yeah, I mean, to an extent, I'm like, I knew it would resonate. But you need help. And that's what I'm most grateful for. I mean, Charlie was there from the very beginning. And Mark, I'll tell you, you were open and honest with me from the very, very beginning. I'm like, this is what you're looking at. This is what you're dealing with. And yeah, I'll just leave it at that. But
I smell a fucking rat in all this. It's not done. Okay. Kornack, according to, you know, the court docket, was supposed to be arraigned February 17th. So she could do the walk of shame, right? And probing press would get a picture. But what happened? Unannounced, they changed it. She showed up yesterday morning. Good thing the good people at WOOD-TV Grand Rapids, they're connected. They got a tip she was coming in. Do we got that?
There it is. Yeah. There she is walking.
There she is. She walking with her lawyer, makes a left, trying to hide behind a partition that's see-through, made of glass. There she is, waddling towards the elevator again, combing the back of her hair this time. Press the button. There's no reporter to yell anything. Thank God the cameraman was there.
No, that one's going up.
Yep, still there. Had a cut. It was a long wait. I had a lot of questions for her. Nothing.
Jeez.
They didn't take her mugshot. Where's the mugshot? She turned herself in, so there's no mugshot. When I got arrested, my mugshot went around the planet before I ever got out of the fucking cooler.
Why would that be? Why would there be no mugshot? Just favorable treatment?
Yes. You get to turn yourself in and there's no mugshot. Come on, man.
That's bullshit.
I do not also yet have the charging documents or, you know, prosecutor statement, but I have to rely on our pals at Wood TV. This just came known to me last night. Yeah. Court documents say that the audit of Bird's finances during the conservatorship revealed questionable transactions totaling $123,290.17. But they found $420,000. So what's the difference? I'll tell you. Because that's the amount they could track from 2020 to 2023 when their investigation ended. Yeah. Everything else is statute of limitations.
Oh,
get what I'm saying? So how's this, the favorable treatment, how's this going to work out? Seems to me she'll get convicted of a felony. She'll plead to that. She'll do no jail time. And before this case is over, restitution will be made. So with whose money? Because there's another $300,000 missing, plus her insurance settlement. But you see what I'm saying? Is this justice?
It's a great question.
Well, it's not healthcare. That's for sure.
Because it gets paid for. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. I mean, this is, everybody's looking at this from a political standpoint, but don't you think there's healthcare workers watching this? Don't you think there's families that are watching this, seeing this? And some of it, it's resonating. I'm like, this is the message that they get. This is how they get to look at it. Like,
yeah.
You know, this is what happens.
You know, like she can skip her her preliminary examination and she can, you know, you can skip those. I'm talking to Rose's family and they wanted to be there on the 17th because they wanted to look her in the eye and they don't get to do that. They're the ones that hit me to this. What's going on? I go, I don't know what's going on.
Right. I mean, I think there's a lot of people that wanted to be there on the 17th.
Well, if she cops some kind of plea, though, doesn't that have to be approved by the victim's family? I mean, in general, they're supposed to take into account the victim's families, right?
I don't know. Okay. In this kind of case, it would seem.
Yeah. Well, it would only be right, but so many things in this case haven't
been.
But
they're not even notified of anything. Nobody's notified. This is skullduggery. So two counts of embezzlement, felony embezzlement. That's supposed to 15 and another five. And then the third count, false pretenses, is another five. Mm-hmm. The false pretenses is, here, according to Wood TV, the court documents say that that's the $30,000 that
the check.
Rose's aide, noticed. Okay, this is the part that's important. The court document also lays out allegations that Cornack improperly billed State Farm Insurance, from which Bird received money through an accident settlement, as I told you. It says a State Farm agent reported Cornett was billing her conservator fees at her attorney rate and that she billed in-home care at a professional rate when Cornett's daughter was simply filling in to help Bird and should have been paid at a family rate. The document also says Cornett used the assisted living facility's tax ID number while billing her daughter's hours, even though she didn't work there and didn't have permission to do so.
Wow.
Okay, why is that important? The embezzlement is worse, right? Using the old lady's identity to steal from the insurance company is another thing. It's lesser, but it matters because that's what Joe brought to the attorney general through me all those years ago. And then I didn't, Nestle's a coward, total, despicable, criminal. I didn't get a statement, but it goes on to say a statement released to News 8 last week, Nestle's office acknowledged it did open an investigation into Cornack and closed it without results. The statement says that the investigation was into an insurance fraud allegation and that it was closed in part to lack of cooperation from the complainant, a lack of belief by the insurance company that it was defrauded, and lack of cooperation. So what are we hearing here? We're hearing the attorney general, the chief law enforcement agency in the state of Michigan, couldn't put, the complaint was different. It was a financial complaint. It was exactly the complaint that Kent County prosecutor now charged with false pretenses. So what I'm saying is, shut the fuck up, Nestle. This is the exact same case. Somehow, some backwater county prosecutor can put it together, but you couldn't. And the reason you couldn't is because you didn't want to, because we have all the documents. It was a complete cover-up. Mm-hmm. It was obstruction of justice, and you directed it. So I want to know, Speaker Matt Hall, where are we at with the contempt charges for Nestle? Won't show up, won't answer questions. Where are the impeachment charges? Dude, let me go like this. Okay, Joe, what was your last day of work?
August 1st, 2022.
At Heather Hills. Like, you're supposed to be there one more month. They asked you to stay on for a year. Two more months, and they asked you to walk. And before you walked, what did you do?
I submitted a report through the Attorney General's portal.
Elder abuse portal?
Elder abuse portal, yeah.
So you went into this brand new portal of hers. She went on TV 3 days earlier. It's open. And
she went on there July 27th, my birthday.
Uh-huh. Oh, jeez.
It was a great birthday present.
My brother's birthday, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, great birthday present.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, I reported it August 1st, 2022, 3 o'clock.
And then you said goodbye, Heather Hills. Okay. And did they ever contact you?
No.
So you would be a complainant, right?
Main complainant.
That portal was designed for administrators and directors because Nestle was bandying about. Like, you would know better than anybody because you have the proximity to the people, right?
Right.
All right. Well, let's.
2 weeks. 2 weeks after your story hit the air.
You filed it.
No, 2 weeks after your story hit the air. She opened this portal.
I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay. I pulled it up because it's also in the documents. Let's see here. This was an insurance case, she said, even though Cornack's been charged with false pretenses. I have it here. Department of Attorney General healthcare fraud complaint form. You sent it. August 1st. Here it says the date it was open was August 15th. 2 freaking weeks later. It says right here. Complaint class, patient abuse, type, financial. Complainant information. Joe LeBlanc, administrator, suspect in the case. Tracy Kornack, power of attorney. Financial abuse, financial exploitation of a vulnerable adult. That's what you reported. Said her bills weren't being paid. Even though State Farm was supposed to be paying them, they sent them to Kornack.
Right.
So this isn't an insurance complaint. This is an elder abuse complaint. Right? You know better than I. This is your industry.
I mean, it's all of it. You can't find it. You can't. It's not there. I gave you everything. I handed in everything. And to say I'm not, what, uncooperative. Like,
right. Well, how could you be uncooperative when they never contacted you? Look, here's a follow-up in these documents.
How can I be uncooperative if I filed the complaint?
Well, you refused to speak to him, I guess.
Right. I wasn't there.
They never got a hold of you. Now, no. Watch. Here, what's the date on this thing? 2 weeks after it's open, first open. So a month later, it gets to the Attorney General's investigator. To which she writes, the plot thickens on the Kornack complaint. Drew Macon from Healthcare Fraud Division called me today to tell me they received an online complaint on the new portal that nursing facilities can use to report neglect and abuse. That complaint was filed by Joe LeBlanc, alleging financial exploitation, $20,000, against Tracy Kornack's ward, Rose Byrd. I called the general counsel for the village of Heather Hills, Richard Solano. The call went to voicemail and the mailbox was full. They said they called there. A woman answered. They had no clue about the online complaint. She explained that LeBlanc resigned last June 2021, given a year's notice, as his last day with the facility, and the last day with his facility was August 1st, 2022. So they knew you didn't work there.
Mm-hmm.
They knew you didn't work there. Then why is it 2 days later, the fraud division sends an official letter to you addressed at Heather Hill saying, we found nothing to your complaint.
Wow. Without even talking to him.
It was so silent that I went on Tucker Carlson. Mm-hmm. And you should see him freaking out in his internal memos once I go on Tucker Carlson. And I go to do a piece. I go to see Joe in Grand Rapids. We get and remind me to tell people about the raw footage. I'm interviewing Joe in his driveway, and he gives me, how did I get her number? I had her number. Mm-hmm. I had some documents, and I called the investigator, put it on speakerphone, because they hadn't contacted him. Then gotten the files from him that showed all this quite plainly. They asked him to cash a check for $30,000 and take 10% for himself. That's what Kornack did. As she's trying to catch him up in embezzlement. Oh. Imagine if he cashed a $30,000 check, pocketed $3,000, gave her the rest. All the
focus would be on him.
And what do you think the accountant's saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
She didn't give a fuck. Mm-mm. But the investigator, might as well tell her name, Lori Bates, never even bothered to get him. So I said, this is very strange for a reporter. You don't do this with investigators, government officials. Give them your documents. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Normally you're like, no, man, that's privileged. You know, you're going to have to subpoena that. I'm not giving it. I gave them to her because I knew she didn't have them. And then they wrote in there. The plot thickens. Oh, LaDuff sent them. I don't want to talk to him anymore because he was fishing for something. I needed to get permission from my superiors. On speaker, I set him in Joe LeBlanc's driveway. You want to talk to him? No, right?
No.
Flat out, no. Just send the files.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's insulting.
So I was insulting. That's a cover-up.
Yeah.
By incompetence or whatever. It never even would have happened if I didn't send the documents.
incredible.
But Mark, you asked me, did I expect this? That I did. The cover-up?
The cover-up, you did.
Okay. Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Because of who she was or just the how they treat elders?
The connections. I mean, I watched COVID for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I saw it. We won't get into that. But, yeah, it was the same thing. To protect political allies, like, no investigations. So, it's the same playbook.
I don't know. Would you... I got up this morning, like, because you could see the pattern here now.
Yeah.
Secret dealings with the courthouse. Yeah. Obviously, the prosecutor had to agree with it. They were there. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it goes away, and Kornack quite likely will, even though being gotten caught, will make money? There's 300,000 that they found.
Yeah, but more. You said that... you know, there's a financial
fiduciary,
yeah, looking into that money.
I mean, in Allegan.
It's not that easy to cover up money and where it goes. It really isn't. So, I mean, a forensic accountant can uncover that kind of stuff. I mean, maybe I'm being Pollyannish and hopeful that it does get uncovered.
We're
going
to have to watch because, again, statute of limitations. I don't know how long this goes.
And we'll see who's being cooperative and who's not.
I thought the statute of limitations went farther for, like, felonious extortion of a vulnerable individual.
With hope, yeah.
That's what I thought I knew. I don't know anything. I just woke up this morning thinking to myself, would I have invested my life's essence in this again if I knew this?
Yeah.
I don't know. Would you, Joe?
It's the right thing.
Yeah, I would have to.
It's the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody wants to do the right thing. That's why there's corruption everywhere.
Joe, have you ever thought of maybe, like, I mean, hindsight 2020, of reporting it elsewhere?
No.
No?
Well, I shouldn't say that.
Instead of the portal?
In terms of...
Yeah, could you have reported it elsewhere? It makes sense that you would report it to the Attorney General. She has a portal. She's the top cop in the state.
It's supposed to go directly... It's supposed to go to Adult Protective Services once it hits that portal.
Yeah,
but it did. It never did. Yeah. So... Look, media, let's be friends again, all right? Just be honest and don't take that bullshit, lying-ass Dana mm-hmm. Nessel's spin on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
The very same crime that you looked into has been charged. Also, Joe, specifically, on your portal that you did jumping jacks over, alleged financial exploitation of a vulnerable adult. It's at that point, it's not a financial crime. It's a crime against a human. So who has to complain? There's your complainant. You don't see that? You're a fucking fraud. Hey, Flint, I'll never forget what she did to you. This is when we first started hitting heads. I'm like, oh, wait, I'll just save that for next week. Oh, man. Remember that $3,147.90?
Yeah.
I finally got the documents. It's all fucking weird. It's shocking what's in there. Not for the reason you're thinking. It's shocking. The cover-up continues. So let's review.
Yeah, I want to get back to his question.
Oh, go ahead, yeah.
No, you asked me, could you have reported it anyplace else? Yeah, you don't typically report to the Attorney General, but she opened up that portal. But
well, then who do you report to before the portal?
Normally, you would go to Adult Protective Services. You would go, but you see what's happening in Adult Protective Services.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the Attorney General's office jumping in on this thing, and so as a healthcare worker, Mike, I do want changes. But if you want to know where the problem is, there it is. Now, I did my job.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie did his job. Where's the issue?
Let's remember something. Adult Protective Services comes in after the AG closed the case and never calls Adult Protective Services. Immediately, 2 weeks later, this happens.
Mm-hmm.
They go around and around for 2 years. Right? Yeah, 2 years. Watching this, chronicling it. Nothing. As I told you in the monologue, The social worker went to the attorney general's office, goes, look, this is bad. At least let's go to probate and get Kornack out of her life.
Yeah.
Right? Then we'll worry about charges.
At the very least, yeah.
And what did the attorney general's assistant attorney general say? She reported that because of the sensitivity of the case and the connection that Ms. Kornack has with government officials and the mystery surrounding the last people to blow the whistle on Ms. Kornack, that it was best to wait, that she didn't feel comfortable. So they what? Okay, Kent County shuts their case off in 23. Attorney General closes it. Then in 2023, for 2 years, they watch in real time while it goes on. When 6 months earlier, Joe already told you it was going on. And 6 weeks after this was written in the log, Rose Byrd dies.
I can't get over the treatment that Kornack, you know, because she was mad that she's being investigated, which I think you just brought up a really good point. I don't want it to go. I want to really focus on the fact that if Adult Protective Services would have removed her as conservator, a lot of that stuff probably wouldn't have happened, right? Because that was after that case. So Rose Byrd suffers this indignity of not having the correct temperature in her room or living in the dark, not getting Christmas cards, not getting the phone, right? She couldn't talk to family members.
Her cell phone went missing.
It's not, I mean, it's a process, but it's not that hard to remove somebody as a conservator. Especially with allegations hanging over their head of stealing money.
And don't forget.
Because that's the one sole thing a conservator is supposed to do is watch the money, not necessarily. You're not the caregiver, I guess, would be the physical caregiver, right? You're just supposed to be the fiduciary of the person's money.
Just paying the bills. So, Joe's writing, hey, I suspect financial abuse because Rose's rent is $20,000 in the arrearage. And there's talk about evicting her.
Oh, my God.
Joe, being the director, is like, we're not evicting her.
No, not. Heather not Hills her
is,
fault.
Heather Hills is for profit, but.
But, I mean, I'll go straight to hell if I'm evicting some 83-year-old lady, 86-year-old lady. Like, that's just not going to happen. You try to make things work. But when you see what's going on behind the scenes, and I'm like, being even put in that position during COVID.
Yeah, this was during COVID.
Oh,
let's go back to something here because because I don't know why. Is it possible that Kornack's daughter gets charged? Hmm. Because the bank account's filling up and there's no record, at least in some billing periods, I don't have them all, during of her being there, the electronic sign-in. Because you were telling me the other day, during COVID, you guys put a whole system in because it would be illegal not to be documented who's going in and out of there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, you remember the restrictions.
I
mean, you had to sign up and show driver's license to go to a restaurant.
That's like, true. I forgot about that.
Yes. Like, so none of this adds up.
Do those logs exist?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I have them.
Is anybody going to do something about that for her daughter?
They just got charged.
Okay.
This is exactly what Nessel had, Nessel meddled in, turned over, and Whitmer, by the way, folks, you laughed at me when I did it on Twitter. Madam Governor, I still haven't heard from you. You know, I don't, what do you call it when you poke somebody, when you at them?
Oh, yeah. What is tag them or
tag them, yeah.
Poke?
Poke, tag, right.
Yeah, Facebook, 2009.
People laugh, like, what do you expect? Yeah. I said, you're going to see.
Yeah.
I'm leaving you all a record. Dozen calls, right? Man, a judgeship. You were holding a judgeship. They were going to have this woman sit in judgment of us.
Wild.
Well, I guess the good thing is that never came to be, right? So that's
okay. There is just, that.
It's a small thing that she lost.
Nessel needs to pay.
Yeah. Well, Nessel does too. Yeah.
You know, she's term limited, so.
And frankly, Charlie, I don't care if it's incompetence or if it's done on purpose, right? Incompetence isn't always the best defense from a law, especially when there is negligence involved.
Well, I don't even know how you can make incompetence an issue at this point.
Well, she's incompetent.
Like, but if you want to throw in stupid, I mean, I'm not going to stop you. But like, you know, it's just like, but how do you argue incompetence?
I would call it willing incompetence.
I'd call it obstruction of justice.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you want to a legal term. House. Yeah.
Which in healthcare, that's neglect.
Yeah.
That's abandonment. You know, I'm getting serious shit for that.
Messel is a complete fraud. Mm. Again, like, I'm sure you saved him. I saved him. We've even put him on this program. There's no need to pull him up. All the stupid commercials, all the dumb town halls that Messel held, right? All the campaign commercials. It's a lie.
Yeah. Speeches to conventions.
We'll do that for next week.
Mm-hmm.
She refused. Nestle took a lot of money from the nursing home industry, refused to open an investigation as to what they did or did not do during COVID. She even spoke at their annual convention, keynote speaker. Bring it to you next week. It's okay. The next thing on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to, yep. If I can.
It's my show. No, it's my show. Oh, right, no, go ahead. I'm just kidding, man.
You know, the one thing, because I want to end things on a high note. Like, I really do. The one thing I am seeing, and I've seen over the last 3.5 years, though, as I've told my story and talked to people, is it's pulling people together. You know, when I watched that oversight, and they're talking about things, and, you know, as a Democrat, good. It's like, you know, how do we fix this? I'm like, good for you. Let's work on this. You know, people are recognizing this. This jumps across every party line. And when you recognize the problem, you start seeing people pulling together. And
that's nice.
I don't know.
I'm a little more cynical than you.
I kind of am too, Joe.
Well, I mean, somebody's got to be positive.
They talk and there's no contempt hearing.
Yeah.
They talk. There's no impeachment charges. They talk, nothing gets done with probate. They talk, and a probate judge, I believe her father, who's an attorney, his partner, and somebody that owns a guardian company, they have this one guy has 1,000 rose birds, and the FBI has to come in. We know probate hears them. They come in and ring them all up. And you know what we get in that case? A mugshot. So I'm seeing how this is all getting manipulated. It ain't going to happen.
Yeah, but and I'm not talking about those people. Those are the people that are all pissed at me. All those people, the media, the politicians, bureaucrats, they're all pissed at me. But it's the families. It's the people. It's the nurses, the administrators, the caregivers. They understand what's going on. That's why you had those people there that were like, they knew who you were. They're there asking you about cases, showing paperwork and all of that. I'm like,
yeah, they have like, advocates groups.
There's
going
a
on.
Lot of people that are following this.
But those people, God bless them, the reason they show up is because they can't get anything done.
Yes.
10 years later, yes. Right? Yeah. And like they're looking at us like we have a magic wand and we can do something. And we can, except shine a light.
Yeah.
And everybody wants a light shined on their own rose. And I wish I could, but I'm watching it. And they were all planning a bus trip. It's on the on the talk boards and everything online. They all were going to this arraignment. And this arraignment was manipulated.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is going to happen? That's why we're doing this show. Can't let it die. Not now that I know what I know.
Right. No, there's a whole group of people that have had these personal experiences. And, you know, people have thought they were crazy.
Yeah, people thought you were crazy.
Oh, right. Yeah. But it's like,
family members, professional people, attorneys, his Catholic group he's with. Like, I don't know, Joe. You know, but you saw it through. Now they call. I'm getting messages from people in a similar job position that he had, going, and God bless him, he's right out along. Good. I suspected stuff, and I'm like, and cool, I guess. And what?
But no, you're right. You know, and
so you got your reputation back, but now what?
Well, that's the way I look at it. Is now it's out there. Now it's out there and it's up to us. What are we going to do about it? Now you know. So what do we do about it?
Okay. And, well, that's all that is a question. That. because now the media will acknowledge it and they'll be on their Sunday talk shows and it instantly twists into what this could mean for the midterm elections. Will it be an issue? I'm like, y'all sat and watched it. Yeah. And I was a lunatic.
Yeah, why are you taking shit for this? I came to you. I asked you for help.
Oh, I took shit for all these years.
I know.
Now, I need to explain to everybody what's going on with the Detroit Board of Police Commissioners. This is but let's first remind you that the insurance company has an adjuster. So I want you to write this number down, Joe. For your parents. Okay. The worst day of your life, because, you know, they live in the country. Remember the weather that came through and pipes were exploding and houses were catching on fire up there?
Trees fell.
All that. So the insurance company sends an adjuster and he gives you a number. And you say, why don't you have an adjuster to work it out with the insurance company's adjuster? Because the insurance company's adjuster is there to save the company money. That's what Public Adjusters Midwest is all about. They're like your insurance lawyer. So this is mainly for catastrophic fire and water damage, right? To commercial buildings or your residence or your cottage. Before you call the insurance company, call Public Adjusters Midwest, PAM, at 855-975-2020. Call PAMFirst.com. They'll do all the work and get you more money because I think I'm kind of a man's man. When I had damage from a storm, I go, here you go. Here's your check. And I'm like, oh, that I have plaster.
Oh.
You know what I mean? They're going to skim drywall mud on there. And I was like, oh, fuck. So their card is in my insurance papers. And if you're not sure about your coverage, this is an no bullshit news special. Call them and they'll check your insurance papers for you. They're not an insurance company. They just know what the insurance company's up to. Nice. That is 855-975-2020. No charge.
Beautiful.
All right.
There's a lot of people up in Gaylord that...
Here, dude, smell this. I mean, you're a man. What kind of deodorant do you use?
Mando.
You do? You?
Yeah, I'm going to start now.
Give it a smell.
Oh, let me see. Dude, there's a pube on there.
Yeah, but it's light and...
And I smelt it after
good.
That.
No, it citricy. Good.
I love the body wash. Look, it's sweat control. It's for real working guys. Formulate a stop order before it starts. Don't put the Old Spice on. It just masks it, and it smells like fruitcake. Old Spice. Can you whistle the Old Spice?
No, I can't whistle.
Yeah, good. That's exactly right. Because this is Mando. Whistle. So go to shopmando.com. Please support our show and use the code NOBS at checkout, 20% off. I like the body wash. Hey, Mando, send me some more body wash.
Yeah.
Do I have to go on there? I mean, I like free shit.
Well, I can get you some. It's your show.
Body wipes?
ShopMando.com. Let's hear from XG Service Group. Well, you know, when it rains, the power goes out. And when the power goes out, the internet goes out. When the internet goes out, I call my friend Matt and Bernie at XG Service Group. Look at Bernie here on his hands and knees, giving it everything he's got. Look at that man crack. So busy, he forgot to wear a belt. There's Matt right there getting the board together. That's 734-245-4100 if you need Matt and Bernie to come take care of your voice over internet, your security cameras, off-campus access control, Wi-Fi, and cameras for homes and business. They'll design it for you. You got restaurants, they do drive-through systems, railroad cameras for public safety, total wireless camera systems for your home and business. Yeah, that's right. Call XG Services at 734-245-4100. One last thing on this Mando whole body deodorant spray, the Bourbon Leather Invisible Spray. I did not know it was aluminum free.
Yeah, it's huge.
I mean, that's a big deal. Yeah. You don't want to put heavy metals on your body. Yeah. Aluminum free. Damn. It's like a shower of freshness. All right, man. The Detroit Board of Police Commissioners is a veritable work release program. The board has not one, not two, but three ex-cons serving as civilian overseers of the Detroit Police. Now, I'm all for second chances, Joe, but six? Remember, these commissioners sit in judgment of the people who put them behind bars, the police. I mean, you wouldn't allow a troop of pedophiles to work at a children's circus, would you? The vice chair of the board, Daryl Woods, spent 29 years in the state pen for first-degree murder. Governor Rick Snyder granted him clemency in 2019, and Woods was appointed to the board in 2023 by then-mayor Mike Duggan. Mike Duggan. Chicken shit. Won't put me on his press list. That dirt thing's getting big, but that's for another day. The second commissioner, Lavish T. Williams. The reason I say Lavish T. Williams is because T is really his name. It's his government name. It's Terrence William. He just likes being called Lavish. He's got two convictions on his resume. One for shooting up a car with a guy in it, and another back in 2007 for running a chop shop. I mean, Lavish really likes tearing up cars. Williams is new to the board, elected last November when he ran unopposed in his district. He didn't tell anybody about his priors, and nobody asked. The third commissioner, Darius Morris, finds himself in the news for all the wrong reasons. He was elected to the board in November, just 9 months after he was released from probation for threatening to shoot a Warren cop during a traffic stop that had nothing to do with him. He just walked up on it. He didn't like the way the cop was doing it. Body camera footage shows Morris wearing a fake police badge that he purchased online. Since nobody formally ran for the board to represent District 3, Morris ran as a write-in candidate. He garnered 518 votes, a total landslide. Morris never told anyone about his criminal history, and again, nobody asked. Now, Morris's rap sheet doesn't end there. He did time in 2009 for pleading guilty to forgery and impersonating a notary public. In 2021, Morris was caught playing dress up again. That time, he was pulled over by the Detroit police officers who discovered Morris carrying a firearm and wearing a fake police chaplain's badge again. He tried to bullshit his way out of the felon in possession charge, but it didn't work. Morris must have delivered an inspired homily from the back of the squad car because when Morris was hauled before the judge, his arresting officer was a no-show. So Morris was kicked free and the charges were dropped. That is, until Morris got elected police commissioner and was given a real badge, a nice badge, a golden badge. And the badge, it would seem, has gone to Morris's head. A few weeks ago, Commissioner Morris made a trip to the 9th Precinct on the city's east side. The east side of Detroit is a notoriously dangerous place, known by its macabre sobriquet, zip code 4820-DIE. So when a real cop asked Morris to step through the precinct's metal detector like every other nobody, Morris got butthurt, Morris got angry, and naturally, Morris got on social media. He posted on Facebook personal information about the precinct commander and lieutenant. That's when the commissioner's education into the thin blue line began in earnest. Ross Jones of WXYZ got a call. He got a hold of the story. He rang up Morris Good, complete with an interrogation of Morris and an airing of all of his prior body cam footage. Just happened to get it all. Just like that. Just happened to get it. Then George Hunter of the Detroit News made inquiries to the Wayne County prosecutor, wondering why Morris's gun charges were never reinstated. And so the prosecutor looked into it. And Morris was scared he was going back to prison. Until the prosecutor discovered that she could not reinstate the charges because the evidence, the handgun Morris was carrying that night, had since been melted down for scrap. For his part, Commissioner Morris resigned from the board. And then Commissioner Morris abruptly unresigned from the board. And then, for whatever reason, Commissioner Morris called me. He said he wanted another interview. He said he wanted to set the record straight. So we set an appointment. And then Morris ghosted me. But I found him. Going to show him to you. It's weird. Morris wasn't wearing his nice new golden badge.
Detroit Police Commissioner Darius Morris is in the news for all the wrong reasons. Turns out, he not only likes to impersonate a cop, he's even threatened to shoot one.
Say it again.
Hey, you put your hand.
Say it again.
With a shot,
you would have shot me. Are you going to try and fight me?
He called me to explain his side of things. Then he ghosted me. I found him anyway, near the elevator shaft.
See if I got this straight. About 2010, you did a bid, state bid, for
mortgage fraud.
Mortgage fraud and impersonating
a notary
public official.
Okay.
And then 5 years ago, you were charged with felony gun possession while wearing a fake badge around your neck. Is that correct?
I had a chaplain's badge.
Yeah, okay. Not a real one. Wasn't given to you by the police.
It wasn't given to me by the police department.
Okay. Then that charge got dropped because the cop didn't show up to court?
Yes.
Okay. Then in 2023, you were convicted of?
I was convicted of assault, resisting, obstructing a police officer from Warren Police Department.
So you threatened to shoot a Warren police officer while wearing the fake badge?
It was about while wearing the chaplain's badge.
Okay. Now you got a real badge.
Yes, I have a board of police commissioners.
Oh, you have it on?
No, I don't have it.
Okay. Okay, so now that you have a real badge, you got upset, you got butt hurt when you went to a precinct and a real cop made you go through the metal detector. Then you put his face and name online, right?
That's not correct. That's not what happened. When I went to the precinct, I had been there prior to on multiple occasions. I had, since I had been elected, I had not been subject to the search until after I made a complaint against a police officer out of that precinct.
So what are you saying here? I'm lost.
I made a complaint against an officer.
And then went on Facebook and...
Yes, I did.
Now, don't you think, if you like dressing up, wouldn't it be safer to get a job as a shopping mall Santa Claus?
It probably would.
Probably would. Thanks, Commissioner.
Jesus Christ.
Good job.
No, wild. That's extreme evangelism. The chaplain with a gun.
Now, let's look at this dope. He did a couple years in prison for like mortgage fraud and posing as a notary public, right? Did a couple of years. A woman got a hold of me on Facebook, messaged me. I rarely check him, so don't, but it just happened to come across. And she's like one of the people you're talking about. We got to set things straight, get things fixed. So I looked her up. She was convicted of embezzling. She was convicted by Nestle, no less, of embezzling from not one, but 10 adults. Right? 10 adults for a total amount of $21,000. $21,000. So she was charged with things like theft of a vulnerable adult less than $200. Like a bunch.
But multiple.
Got convicted and was sentenced to 3.5 to 7 years in prison. I looked up the woman's appeal. She lost the appeal. So that's what somebody got for $20,000. We're talking $420,000. Where is it?
Great.
This dope's doing time.
Mm-hmm.
Justice isn't
it's
blind.
Never equal either.
But we're going to do what we can, right, yeah. Joe? It's not over. Dana, I'm coming. Mm-hmm. Oh, and Gretchen, it ain't looking good. Wait till next week. See you next week.